Wake up, gamers, because you're listening to the Big Think Dimension with Dan and Bob Video Games.
Bob, we don't have a job to do.
Oh, thank God.
KZ Excellent.
Mwom, mwom, mwom.
And Mr. Feel.
He's goated with the sauce, Coop.
Here on Gigaboots.
Bob.
What's up?
Did you know the creator of Wardle's name? His last name is Wardle.
What?
I'm not making this up.
Oh, okay.
The guy who made Wordle.
Yeah.
That popular game.
Yes. His name is Josh Wardle. Just replace the word with A, so it's Wardle.
This is very smart man.
He's like, I'm sorry.
Bravo.
I'm sorry I won't monetize my creation because I'm a deity. I'm not a real human being.
And he just slowly fades out. No, like the mist swirls around him and he's just gone.
This is like an end of an animated like children's movie from the 80s. So you see like, of course, a 9-year-old white kid with brown hair just tearing up over this moment. that really screwed with me fighting that. I'm like, you can't, dude, what? Your name can't be that similar to your globe-spanning successful product launch, if you could call it that. Like, it's a free website. What do you even call it? Anyway, we played Infamous last week.
We did.
Which kind of makes sense, because we played Revengeance, Metal Gear Rising, before that. And both of those games are about 9/11 and the good old days after 9/11, basically.
And the protagonists kind of sound the same.
Yes. Well, one of them's Solid Snake and the other one's Riot. It makes perfect sense. It's a real delight to go back through Infamous One, even if it is the most 7th-gen looking game ever shipped successfully. Definitely one of the most 7th-gen games looking games that has ever shipped from major first party, right?
Right. Doesn't not playing, but just visually for
just
sure.
Just visually, yeah. The whole city, the main character's look, the color being nothing but gray. But the script and all of the lines referencing terrorists and everything else make it delightful to play in retrospect. It seems quaint almost. We're just like, oh, this is great. This game is clearly inspired by 9/11 and all these other horrible things. And the way it's handling it is funny as shit. There's a way they could have handled it that would have been very self-serious. But I feel like it's just there to be like, Cole's a terrorist. Or is he? You decide. It's like, is there a morality where my girlfriend isn't incredibly mad at me every waking second? No. Okay, well... Shit.
What was with 7th-gen games in that?
I don't know.
Where it's like, there's this real energy in 7th-gen games of like, that no game journalist ever spoke about or noticed, I guess?
Yes.
Where it's like, your girlfriend is just insanely unreasonable.
Yes.
to the point where you feel like one of the writers had an issue.
And every game journalist is like, this is how women are. It's like, oh no!
Yeah,
I mean that's probably pretty close. Yeah,
yeah, and you can imagine the internal discussions too being something along the lines of somebody floats up, "Hey, I wish this game had a better representation for women," and then the creative director goes, "Well, there's only one woman in this game, and she's a bitch, so we have what we have." And it's just like, well, fucking thanks, buddy. Infamous One definitely is that. The funny thing is when you fast forward to Ghost of Tsushima, right?
Uh-huh.
They basically take all the insufferable, almost detached from reality elements of her and then cross it with a Rick and Morty character to make murder grandma and murder grandpa. It's just like, you need to calm down. You really need to ground yourself. Anyways, let's go burn down this village. It's like, wait a minute. There's a real disconnect here. I really enjoyed Infamous One. That was a really fun game to play through again. I super enjoyed it. I, in fact... played over an hour of it just doing the test run the day before we streamed to make sure there weren't any technical problems.
Right.
Good thing it did that, right, Bob?
Uh-huh. Yeah, no problems. Nothing happened. Nothing bad happened. We definitely didn't have to restart the game twice because of different freezing of the whole system.
At least it seemed to be on the same mission, wasn't it?
No.
Or am I wrong?
Totally, totally different places.
But it was so close in the grand like span of playing that game.
Uh-huh.
It was like both happened in the last hour and a half or something. And it was like... well, this was going so well. That's when people in chat inform me, yeah, by the way, Dan, did you know some digital games on PS3, because they were never intended to be digital, but Sony later sold them digitally, some of them just have problems. They just don't work right. I'm like, oh, that's swell.
Right?
Thanks. I could have driven out to a nearby city to buy both copies of Infamous 1 and 2 physically had I known this fact ahead of time, but oh well. It is what it is. I only paid $15 for everything, including the DLC, you know, the vampire one for Infamous 2.
Right.
So,
in the Gigawatt Blades for Infamous 1.
Yes, the Gigawatt Blades. I think those were a pre-order thing.
Probably.
Originally, and then the digital version just always comes with that. Those Gigawatt Blades are very funny in that they're both overpowered and completely useless in a normal playthrough.
Yes.
Because the idea of the Gigawatt Blades is, you see Cole McGrath, he grows these energy electric blades out of his arms, like katars almost, and they basically one-hit kill most enemies. But in order to use them, you have to get close enough to punch an enemy with this game's terrible melee.
Yeah, I was like, you have to interact with the melee system at all. If it's one, it's something you never want to do.
And as I remember it, you know, tomorrow we're going to go into that stream, so people listening to this now, they know and we don't.
Uh-huh.
We're just ignorant past people, which is always the case with media. That's how it works. Two fixes the melee a decent bit. Because they give you a stick, which gives you enough reach for it to not be the worst thing in the world. And then I think Second Son takes it further by giving you that, smoke whip.
Right.
Which is cool as hell. Absolutely awesome. I'm very excited for Infamous 2. Infamous 1 was very delightful to play through again.
I completely forgot about that one lady that was a boss.
Oh, you forgot about Sasha?
Holy, completely.
You forgot? Dude, Sasha's like the one, she's the main plot point where the whole playthrough of the game, I'm sitting here, I'm like, Sasha seems insane. I do not know what her deal is. This relationship she has with Cole makes no sense. And then you hit the ending and you go, oh, okay.
Yeah, it just made so little sense. I just kind of put it out of my mind and never thought about it again. So it was a surprise to see her in this game.
It's funny because most characters in this game don't have, how do I put this? Edgy or over the top 7th gen designs.
Uh-huh.
But Sasha sure as shit does.
Yeah, she's a sewer lady.
She has oil pants.
Yes.
Ooh. She reminds me of a lot of a Lords of Shadow 2 design. And just sort of a Lords of Shadow design in general, where it's like, she's sexy lady, but she's evil, so her pants are oil.
Yeah, she is a little bit like Carmilla in a weird way.
Yes. She's the only person in this like that.
Also, in my head, I rewrote the ending to make sense. So now we're getting to it again.
Yeah,
like,
that'll happen.
That they sure did not do this the way that would have made sense. Okay.
Look, Bob,
we're going to get into spoilers for Infamous 1, an absolutely ancient game that I streamed under retro. If you have a problem with that, go forward 2 minutes.
No, Dan, no, it's like I said, when that game came out, games were only existed for 30 years, and now it's 45 years, so there's a slight, I'm not old, Dan, I promise.
Huffing copium as hard as I can.
Yeah, I take my head, I take my mouth away from the mic to huff copium. So, look, Bob. Kessler is Cole, who goes back in time 30 years to plan the moment that he gives himself superpowers slightly sooner, so that way he can fight fight a monster that was possibly created by the machine that he funded the development of and oversaw to give himself superpowers slightly sooner, instead of, I don't know, just destroying the device and murdering the organization that made it.
Yeah, in my head,
uh-huh.
He went back in time after aging entirely in the future.
Yeah.
So he went back in time and only had like a week to figure out this whole thing. And he knew this explosion was going to happen. So he went there to orchestrate everything after the explosion and be like, okay, I need to train Cole.
Yeah. You can even do it as like he's been here for a month or a couple months. Because, right. You know,
yeah, it's clear. He wouldn't be able to adjust everything.
Yeah. It's clear he doesn't have fine grained control of the time travel. Thus why he showed up 3 decades.
Right.
But. Yeah, no, there's so many ways where you could have written it. He shows up 2 weeks early, a month early, 2 months early, and it would have been like, okay, this makes sense.
Right, it would have made perfect sense. Instead, it's like, we made him this weird organizer of this whole event that seems like a bad idea.
Maybe this was me, me rewriting it to make sense, but what I always thought was he didn't actually know where the monster came from.
Yeah, the conclusion of the game seems to make it super ambiguous how exactly the monster's made, and in one of the frames of the ending, they draw the monster looking like Cole, like an evil Cole. So it's really weird and ambiguous. And two's going to get into it. And frankly, we're probably going to wish it didn't.
Yeah.
That's how I remember it.
But now you have two girlfriends who are unreasonable.
No, I have an option of two. Only one of them is my actual girlfriend in the game, I guess, sort of. I remember this being even worse than one in its treatment of women, but maybe I'll come back to it and be like, no, it's fine.
I'm sure.
Maybe you forgot a detail that makes it even worse.
No. Let me put it this way. A lot of people talk about the importance of sticking the landing, and the landing on that made everything they did 10 times worse.
Did they make the landing? No, their legs are gone. I don't know where they went either.
No, they didn't stick the landing. They actually drove straight into a black hole. But I'm genuinely excited for Infamous 2. It has this thing called art design.
Ooh.
I don't know where that was in Infamous 1. Probably just in the motion graphics cutscenes, which still look great. Like, I really like how those look.
I didn't expect the game to be structured so similarly to Sly Cooper. because like, you go to a new area, you get the motion comic cutscene that maybe talks about, like, a villain.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a new chunk of the map, and it's like, you could make a Sly Cooper game exactly like this, where you just unlock hunks of the map controlled by new crime overlords.
Yeah.
And it's almost exactly the same.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I also thought that just looking at Cole move, I'm like, oh, that's fucking.
Yeah, no, all through
Sly Cooper moving,
all through Sly Timber, Shibi is co-hosting with us. Shibi Gato, she's co-hosting with us as me and Bob just go, look at Sly walk. He's just doing a Cole McGrath walk. Even the ghost of Tsushima does the same tightrope walk. It's so funny.
Yeah, it looks non-human.
Yeah,
in a really funny way.
You do the opening actual gameplay mission in Infamous 1, and all these pedestrians and Zeke are running around at high speeds, and they just look like Murray. But at a lower frame rate with no gut jiggle. And I'm like, this is so funny.
Yeah, Cole McGrath is Sly. Everyone else in the world is Murray. Anyone truly, who's not a free runner is Murray. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Truly a dystopia. And, you know, something else we need to talk about before we move on is I genuinely appreciate how Cole from one, his voice actor is just trying to sound like Solid Snake.
It is very funny.
It's...
Yeah, it's really blatant. It's, like, even I was stunned. I was like, Dan, surely he won't sound like how Dan is playing. Oh, my God.
It's really good. I don't remember how he sounds at all in 2, but I remember it doesn't sound the same. And it upset me because there was something like, you know, the first reveal of Cole in 2, he looks completely different in a way that makes no sense for the personality displayed in 1. But in retrospect, I can imagine the people at Sucker Punch probably wanted to land something closer to that than Seventh Genman, where is that short hair or does he have a skin condition on his bald head? That's not an intentional artistic design, it seems, playing that game.
Yeah, the motion comics make it look like he just has to have short hair, but then the in-game model is like, that looks like a bald head with... something
he's,
on
he's
it.
Wearing a bald cap. It almost looks like that.
I had forgotten how different Infamous 1 Cole looked.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, night and day.
It's like that's not even close to the same face.
No. Fucking similar.
Why did so many 7th Gen game do that? Because like Ethan in Assassin's Creed. Or is his name Ethan? The real world dude in Assassin's Creed 1-3.
I think that's his name. It's similar if it's not literally that. Yes, that's seemingly his name. Wait. Yes, that seemingly is his name.
Because they changed him between one and two. Desmond, it's Desmond Miles.
There we go. Yeah, Desmond. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been so long.
They changed him, and I was like, that's so weird. We don't do that anymore. And I'm like, oh, wait, yes, we do Spider-Man.
Spider-Man literally is like the poster child for anyone doing this remotely recently. Or is it just like, actually, he's Tom Holland.
We somehow brought the concept of being Caucasian into reality.
They're gonna
just like metaphysically formed it.
The God of War Ragnarok's gonna come out, and your kid is just gonna look like Scott the Woz.
No, that would improve that game.
That would be unbelievably
like
funny.
I want that more than anything. Now I will pay $80 for your game instead.
You enter one of those typical AAA game combat arenas that looks like an arena, big open circle, two rows of seats, dilapidated stone structure, and enemies, archangels and shit, drop down from the sky, and your son goes, hey, all.
God. What a good armchair devs pitch.
I know, this one's free. But yeah, I'm really excited for Infamous 2. Really excited. That redesign's insane, and I am genuinely the only thing I'm worried about with it, Bob.
Yeah.
Because I already know that like my expectation of how the romantic writing it is rock bottom.
Yeah.
It can't be worse than what I'm expecting.
Right.
What can be worse is how insufferable the voice actor for Cole is, because I don't remember how he sounds at all.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's going to be weird. I think he's going to have a weird half grumble. If I remember right, it's like there's still a little bit of him trying to grumble, and it doesn't sound right at all.
No, I don't think there's any grumble at all.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, I know. I'm so excited. I genuinely love the Infamous series. I would love to see Sucker Punch come back to it. A PS5. Let me put it this way. If they made an Infamous game that was just on the PS5, right? And I mean just on, as in it's the only game on the PS5.
Yeah.
I'd be like, this console was worth it. Because the thought of them making something so far beyond what Second Son did, 8 years ago?
Uh-huh.
Is like, dude, that would be so cool. Except for they should call this one Famous and remove all the morality choices.
I mean, they could still just call it Infamous and then just not have an Infamous side.
I do like it that it is like bad guy, Infamous, good guy, hero.
Yeah, maybe they just write something that's actually like morally gray and doesn't have choices.
Honestly, if you're not going to have choices, that to me seems like what you would do.
Right, like get some really good writers in it and, you know, do that. That could be interesting.
Yeah, get Amy Hennig and Gary Whitta. Forspoken hasn't come out yet, but based on trailers, I'm not optimistic on the writing of the game.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be great and be nominated for many Game of the Year awards that we will have.
Based on your tone, I believe you. That would be hard to stick the landing, but, you know, hopefully, like other Sony studios, they're scaling up Sucker Punch to maybe be a two-game studio.
Right, and then I could totally see one of those being Infamous, and it would be pretty great.
It would. I love Ghost of Tsushima, but superpowers are fucking cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you know that?
I mean, the superpower of throwing a grenade in a firebomb and mind-controlling someone is pretty good.
Man, that Ghost of Tsushima, his mystic arts are so powerful. I can't understand how he does it. Yeah, that's a bow and arrow.
He shoot oil on you and then a match.
That lit you on fire. This isn't a mystery. This is a third degree burn.
Yeah, it's like, who would win in a fight? Ghost of Tsushima or Infamous Man? I think it's Ghost of Tsushima. He's got oil and fire.
But see, this is really complex because if we're talking about Delson.
Yeah, Delson kind of cheats.
He can turn into smoke.
Yeah, no, you can't pick that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's the problem. Delson's too good. He would quickly, like, and here's the thing, a feature, if they do another Infamous, turn Delson into an actual bad guy. Make the bad guy ending canon. I'm so excited for that playthrough. There's no way chat's voting for good guy.
Yeah, there's no way.
I was like, do we even let them vote? But who? No.
We've been talking about
it's going to be a massacre.
I know.
We've been talking about that bit since like big thing number four.
Yeah, no, it's hilarious. But yeah, they were really tied on which morality we should go with one. It was like a 2-vote difference.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy.
It was absolutely nuts. there's no way good guy would win. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I feel like Troy Baker kind of sealed the deal on bad guys.
Oh, he does it in the first trailer with that smirk he does in midair when he flies. Oh, I guess that's the second trailer. The first trailer doesn't have the smirk, I don't think. The second trailer does when he turns it, he shoots up like a rocket, smiles at the camera, and then does the dive bomb. It's a really good shot. That game looks like a million, like a hojillion dollars. Like when you think back at what other games looked like at the time.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. You're an open world game. You're kind of like first, second party. What should we compare you to? Dead Rising 3. Okay, let's look at how that looks. Okay, maybe that's not.
Right.
Yeah, it's almost like you can't compare anything to a Sony first party title because it just looks ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, when we were in the dimension where the PS5 still wasn't out and Ghost of Tsushima was running on my vanilla PS4, that thing still looks like insanely next gen.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we just kept calling it a next gen game.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been cool. And I'm really not trying to punch it. I'm just trying to find parallels. It would have been really cool if Halo Infinite had foliage that looked that insane. Like if its open world looked that nuts on a Series X. But obviously it runs at a really nice frame rate.
Yeah.
Whereas Ghost taps out at 60 on PS5.
I just think of something else near that same time. Bloodborne's like, it had a great art style. Oh my God. It's not even visual. It's not comparable at all, technically.
But that's the thing, though. It's a FromSoft game. So like back then, mm-hmm. So it gets the necrotic touch to its frame rate and frame pacing.
Yes, yes. That too.
It's really unfortunate because that game did look good. But yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's it for Infamous for this week. I'm done talking about it. Aside from that, I played more Story of Seasons and Pioneers of All Town on Steam.
Ooh.
If you're going to play that, play it on Steam. Please do not play the Switch version. Such a good game. Such an amazing game. I've already dumped 18 hours into the Steam version. We now go to Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hey.
What you been playing?
The only other thing I really played was Doom Eternal.
Oh, okay.
DLC. I finally cracked into that.
Oh, so, nice. So we unwife swapped.
Yeah.
So my phone let me know he downloaded that.
Oh, okay. How has hell been treating you?
Yeah, it's nice that they build you up again. Like, pretty quickly,
because
you just have all the abilities from the end of the game,
yeah,
and then they start really quickly introducing all the enemies back to you. I'm like, thank you. It's really hard to figure out where to go back and play it, because like playing level one of Doom Eternal is just kind of boring and bad no matter what difficulty you're on, because it's going back to having like no abilities, yeah. No combat rooms are really structured the way you want them to be where they are near the end of the game. This feels like more of the end game stuff.
This is what the final level is followed up with. They're like, you have all your stuff, go ahead.
Yeah, so it was really cool to see that. I really early on had one of those moments of, oh right, this is still Doom. It still has some of those weird old PC shooter thing where it's like, I have put a marker on the map, figure out how to get there. I will not tell you.
Yes.
It was like,
did you get stuck in that part where you're like, you have to go up near the ceiling and punch like a wall with a crack on it?
Yeah, you need to find the air vent. And it's like,
yeah, I spent 25 minutes going, what am I doing?
It's like, guys, I don't care if you don't need to make an audio clip or anything. Just point me exactly where I'm going, because I don't care at all about your exploration, even a little, not even remotely. Just get me to the next shootout.
I want to start grinding meat again.
But yeah, that's really fun. I kind of forgot just how fun that game can be when you get in the loop of stuff. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Not too far in. I think I finished all the first stage of it. I have no idea how many stages are in this DLC.
Okay.
Trying to think if I did anything else other than that. I really it was that, and then I played more of Genshin to check out the new zone they added,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty cool. It's like this giant underground. It's a cave that's so big that it has clouds and stuff in it. It's kind of it's got a really cool art style.
I need to actually check that out. I haven't I just only now just like scraped the Fog Island because I'm like I hadn't wanted to do that for a while.
Yeah, I actually have not played. They added two other islands I barely have touched, but then I was like, I'll just do the newest thing instead.
There was some reason I had to do the fucking Fog Island because it had some fucking shit that one of my characters I was trying to build up needed.
Oh, yeah, that checks out. I am excited to do the Fog Island eventually. This was more exciting, though. So that place is cool looking. I don't really understand all the mechanics are going on with it yet, because it's got, instead of, in the rest of the game, you find little nodes on the map that add up to leveling up your shrine for that zone, and that shrine will give you, like, character upgrades, like stamina boosts and stuff like that. In this new zone, you collect these things that you can then shove into other parts of the map, and I have no idea what they do. So I'm excited to see what that is. But that's it. That's all I've been playing.
Okay, cool. There was one game I wish I had played for Game of the Year that I've been meaning to pick up, but I didn't have space for it.
Okay.
Elekhead. I showed you the trailer
for that,
Bob.
That looked really cool.
Yeah, I found out that because of Shuhei Yoshida propping it up. It's on Steam and itch.io. Really cool platformer. I'm hoping to check that out in time for next week, but didn't have time yet. We're going to move to KZ. KZ, what you been playing?
The past couple days I've been binging since Konami just dropped it, just randomly. Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel is now out.
Yeah, I've also been doing this.
That's out on consoles and I think phone?
God, Pokemon's ruined me.
Yeah, I knew it! I knew he's just thinking Pokemon Master Set!
Yes!
Let me make this clear for anybody listening. PS4, PS5, or otherwise, maybe no.
Yeah, I start streaming and someone's like, it's bad on the Switch. I'm like, I'll bet.
This is a Unity thing. It is not an optimized Unity thing at all. I watched somebody play it on the Switch and I'm like, how did you make a card game have like, it feels almost unplayable from what because I touched it. Cause it's like, it's so long for like your cursor to switch between objects on the game field.
Yeah. Yeah. It looked incredible. I had to go look. Cause I'm like, This is the most like high rent Yu-Gi-Oh thing where they're actively trying to make the Hearthstone version of that where you have like you have a giant field, there's like little interactable like objects, the card is lifting up and slamming into the enemy, so when you get the kill, it seems like you ended the entire world, and I'm like, okay, that's probably gonna be bad on Switch. And then whenever one of my streams said it was bad, I was like, oh, I got to look at that. Oh, no.
It's not just Switch. I know people with like 4 or 5 year old laptops that are like, this ain't happening.
Okay.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, my entire purpose of getting into it was, you know, there are plenty of card sims on the computer. I don't really care about that because they've been around for like 10 years. I'm like, I'm looking for something that I could just play on the console casually, and
you want to casually play your dumb Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime decks against your friends.
I need something like that, so I've dug maybe like 8 or 9 hours into it.
Surprisingly, like, if you want to, like, if you're like, I want to play these three goofy anime decks against my friends, this is it. You can do that.
Yeah, I had some concerns, like we were talking about, like concerns about how weird the monetization was going to be. During that first conversation, this is like mid last year, I was like, I want to be able to give them $20 and have one deck that I like. I got
you
one.
You don't even have to give them $20.
Yeah, I did not, in fact, have to give them any money to get a deck that I like, which is shocking, honestly, given that this is, of course, a collectible card game. So it's a gacha style thing. You're doing pulls, getting things of various rarities. Yeah. That type of thing. The monetization is bad because you would expect it to be bad.
Oh, it's bad. It's the app. It's actually by far the worst.
Yeah, in terms of those. But it's significantly better than I thought it was going to be, where I'm like, I have barely put anything in here and I have like a stable of decks that I like.
It's really impressive how Konami fucked up so bad with this game. Because they accidentally made... Okay, so here's the thing about Yu-Gi-Oh! Yu-Gi-Oh! Doesn't have formats. Because, like, you know, Magic the Gathering, every, how, I don't know, how, like 3 years, I assume, something like that, too. But like, we're changing formats, so all the, none of the cards are legal in tournaments anymore.
Mm.
We're releasing, like, new ones.
Mm.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Doesn't do that. Hearthstone also does this. I presume Runeterra does this because it's just a copy of Hearthstone, but it's like you cycle out the old stuff, cycle in new stuff. Yu-Gi-Oh! Doesn't do that, so the only way to get people to buy new things is to make the new thing more powerful.
Yeah.
The end result of this is that a mediocre deck from 2 years ago beats 95% of the cards ever made.
Yeah. Essentially, yeah.
That's real dumb.
That's fucking hilarious.
it's so funny.
I am going to read this card. This card is like 5 or 6 years old. It's old.
Oh fuck me.
Here's the and it's easy. It's easy to get out. It's called a Bloom Diva, the Melodious Choir. Here's this card's text. Cannot be destroyed by battle or card effects.
By the way, plenty of cards have had that for the past 15 years.
That's hilarious.
Not 15 years, KZ. It only really started like 5 or 6 years ago where that started to be like text on a big monster uniformly.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you take no battle. It has another effect. But the big thing is that like most decks that a person could build from before that card came out can't do anything to it. Because you have to use very specific things on it to get rid of it. And the result of this is because the crafting system in this game is very generous, too generous from the angle, not from the player's angle, which is of course you want it to be, but from the angle of like you get online and everybody they fucked it up so bad whales have no reason to give them money. There's no whales. Because the whales get all the free currency that they give you to trick you into getting invested. Then they just torch every single card that they don't like because it's bad. They're like, I want to play this one tournament level deck. And they do that. And then that's like everybody you run into on rank. I played rank 30 times last night. I counted. My win rate was 4. And 2 of those, they just disconnected.
You see, I haven't played enough online. I was diving into the solo stuff, where they have like single player story mode.
I wanted to level up the battle pass, KZ, which by the way is terrible. It's the worst battle pass of any video game I've ever seen. The amounts of currencies it gives you, even if you shell out for the paid one, Bob, imagine if like the Genshin battle pass was 25% of what it gave you.
It's already not great. Ouch. Yeah, but it's got a little thing you can put on your dual field that you can't buy normally. I need the pot of greed to hang out with me and smile at me.
And this is like a very, this is just a thing they didn't think through because my understanding is that nobody from the Western side of the company even saw this game before it shipped.
That would make sense.
A lot of assets come off as machine translated. For like some of the tutorials,
it uses the Japanese ban list for the game because there's a Japanese ban list and a rest of the world ban list, and it uses the Japanese ban list. And it doesn't have like Western exclusive cards that are like 6 months old. So
yeah, it really comes
off like the Japanese side of the company just made this without talking to anybody on the other side.
I'm like, does Konami have a Western side to development anymore?
They have, for Yu-Gi-Oh! They do. It's filled with the dumbest human beings alive, but maybe some of these problems they could have, like the one I'm about to describe. You get nothing if you lose. Like, you get no progress towards the bar.
Whoa. What?
At least that's what I think, because I didn't notice it the couple of times I've lost, and nobody else, and it seems to be, just surrender if you're losing. Just surrender, which produces this effect of like you never get to feel good online.
Yeah, that's kind of what I came to expect, even playing like the free options online, whether it was like ones that were in a browser or one that's like an app where I'm feeling it. And then they just scoop immediately whenever the good combo is starting.
That's bad for something like this, though, because in Hearthstone or Runeterra, you still get either like you get missions that you can still make progress towards if you continue the game. But one, Yu-Gi-Oh! Isn't really structured where Yu-Gi-Oh! Is a very snowball times 1,000 game.
Yeah.
where if you're winning, you will be continue to win more and more and more, barring like a handful of things that that the opponent might like luck into being able to do. But a lot of times it's like, I have four counters for anything you can do on the field, 800, like all these big powerful monsters. And okay, now it's your turn. I did all that on my first turn. Before you even got to go.
My favorite type of opening play is someone brings out their big thing that's going to start the chain of a line of cards coming out. They play the effect and someone's like, I removed this card from my hand to negate that. And they go, oh, pass.
Yeah, that's the kind of level. That's what it has become, where it's like you have to have something you can use without it being on the field to interrupt their endless combo of summoning shit. But my point was basically, this game, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is like a game on a mechanical level. Doesn't seem you can't transplant it directly into the Overwatch formula. You have to make changes and you have to make allotments, and they didn't care.
Yeah, no, this is
just, they were just like, we don't care.
This is for ingrates to play that card game that they always play.
Except they fucked it up, so even the freaks don't even have to give them money.
Good.
Yeah, they also
as
did
as a freak, I am so happy about that.
You're not a freak, KZ. I'm talking about the people. I'm talking about the people who would have been like, no, I gotta get my tier zero deck. I gotta get to the top ranks. I'm gonna give them $300 so I can pull these cards. Except they had to give them $0.
Yeah, I mean, they even did that PlayStation Plus thing where it's 50.
Okay, all right. That PlayStation Plus thing is the shit packs. Do you know what that pack contains in its pool? 6,700 cards.
Wow.
That's like all of them.
They put every card that's in this game in one pack.
Yeah.
Which means there's a mountain of garbage.
Yeah, of course.
KZ, I think every single pack has every card. It's just the rates change.
Yeah, there's like different like shuffling like rates. But I was relieved where they have the system where you'll get, say you get a decent card of this archetype. And it's like, okay, you've unlocked this pack that you can put your currency into that's all the monsters and cards that are related to that thing. You like the Blue Eyes White Dragon, here's a thing for that. I was very worried they were going to put so much other garbage in it that it's like, okay, you got two things from that. But no, they actually divvied it up so that if I do a couple 10 pulls, I'm like, okay, I have the core of what I'm looking for here.
It has this really gross element that I don't understand why they did it. It just seems insane.
Yes.
Where you unlock those new packs for 24 hours.
And they're like, okay, start pulling again. Then they'll disappear. And then your only way to get them again is to craft a super rare that would be
or
in
higher.
That line.
You can also be ultra rare.
Yeah. Or higher. Or you just pull from one of the things and you get it again.
It's very bizarre. A lot of this game in general was like, there's no onboarding at all. Like, if you're not already really into Yu-Gi-Oh! And know what's going on, you basically are doomed. like, there's no hope. Because it's just like, they just throw all this shit with no real tutorial onto your face, and it's like you're falling down a fucking well.
Yeah, they do have some basic tutorials that you can go through, because there's a solo mode. It teaches you how to do each of the summon mechanics, gives you enough currency for a few 10 rolls through that. They also have like some decent enough like solo stuff of where instead of mimicking the anime, they picked monster like grouping and archetypes and decided to make lore around them. So they have like little cutscene things and stuff with them.
There has always been lore in books they never released outside of Japan, and not like narrative books, like guidebooks.
Yeah, like guidebooks. They actually use that and have you go, here's how this plays. And for like half of them, there's like 13 of these in there right now. They just give you a structure deck based on them. So
yeah, it's good. And not only that, I really like the element of like, okay, beat this challenge with this structure deck that you'll get at the end of the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can come back with your own deck.
Yes.
And if you beat that challenge again with your own deck that you built, you get a different reward, which I think is neat.
Yeah, let you double
up. I'm hoping that they make some changes and maybe it'd be really good if they need to fix matchmaking. They need to.
Yes, they
cuz there's no unranked match right now. There is ranked match, lobby with your friends. So you go into ranked and the invincible super Chad who has been playing this game for 20 years and plays the top tier deck just eviscerates you on turn one.
You know, ranked is supposed to alleviate that by properly figuring out where who should face each other.
Yeah,
like that's the point.
But it might even out in like a week because all the freaks will rise to the top of the pile.
But it sounds more like everyone else will just stop playing.
That is my expectation of how this will go. Is I expect this game to bleed basically all its players almost immediately because it's like Blizzard figured this out. If somebody clicks the play button and gets worked so bad that they don't even know what's happening, they're never going to play your fucking game again.
Yeah, I mean that's the whole point of an MMR, to make sure people are having matches that are fair.
And there was this thing in old Yu-Gi-Oh games called deck score.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
It was to limit you so you couldn't just run over the game with all the most powerful cards because all the cards in Yu-Gi-Oh have like a little 6-digit code on them, and most of the games would let you punch in that code thinking you owned the card, but actually everybody would just get a list from the internet.
Right. Yeah, that was so good.
So they would be like, no, certain cards have certain values. They need to bring that into this matchmaking. Make it invisible. Just make it so, like, the person who's like, I really liked Joey in the anime, so I made a Red Eyes deck, doesn't end up against the fucking whatever the fuck the highest levels of these decks are, where it's just like, you literally have zero chance.
Yeah, they could just do
in
it.
A game that is ostensibly has luck as an element, you have zero chance.
we went through this algorithm here. We're not going to match you against the person where 30 cards in their 40 card deck are ultra rares. We're just not going to let that. We're going to pass that one up for one that maybe has more rares or commons.
Honestly, I think they should get even more cracked out and be like, we have ranked based on era.
Oh, okay.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be kind of like having featherweight and heavyweight as a class. Just doing arrows.
I would also like them to just have like formats. It was like 3 or 4 weeks ago. They put out a press release for the card game that straight up said they're adding new formats that run on different things. Like one of them is entirely based on cards you get in packs that are only common and don't actually use any of the super rare type of stuff, and you just build based on that. But since this is like a free to play online thing, I feel like they can introduce more stuff because this is very much undone. Because they'll have things you can interact with on the board, and they're like, here's a Dark Magician. That's the most common thing in the world. Here's this Cyber Dragon. Here's a basketball and a pair of roller skates. And I'm like, what? Did you get these on the Unity Asset Store?
Yes, they probably did, actually.
Yeah, it entirely feels like that when some of these are 3D recreations of assets from the card game next to a toothpick? Like, what?
I also think it's really funny how they basically just stole... They came really close to just stealing Runeterra's default board.
Oh.
Where, like, KZ, here's Runeterra's default board.
Ooh, please, yes, show me. Okay. Does anyone have a pick for people who haven't played?
I'm trying to find the Yu-Gi-Oh! Here it is.
Okay.
Here's the default Yu-Gi-Oh! Board that both sides have. Okay. Not exactly the same, but it's like has the same colors even, or like it's the same basic shit.
Well, see, part of this taps into when people play card games, they like to believe they're doing battle and it's some generically English looking old battlefield.
Yeah, that's not what I was
There are other boards you can buy, and some of them are really cool. Like there's a volcano one that is really neat.
Yeah, for Yu-Gi-Oh! It doesn't click for me.
I want to live in cyberspace, have cybercock in here.
Yeah, fucking blown up the network.
Yes.
Bob, that's the bad season of Yu-Gi-Oh! That's the bad one.
That was literally the last season.
Yeah, this is so bad. We're not making an anime based on this card game anymore. We're starting a weird second card game with the worst designs you've ever seen that's trying to be like Buddy Fight or whatever the fuck.
When every single part of the anime is, yeah, we have holograms that project on whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's cyberspace. I'm sorry.
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's
That's confused.
That's entirely fair. And then they try to say, no, this is our technology. Solid Vision.
I'm sure it's great.
It is. It's quite great.
Yeah, they say it's Solid Vision so that when somebody gets hit, they just fucking get electrocuted and start screaming.
Yes.
That's what Sol Snake had in the Force game, right?
Yeah, totally. Okay. Solid Vision. Yeah. You nailed it.
But yeah, they have multiple different, like, different boards that you can get, and some of them are, like, pretty good looking. I was just shocked at how high rent this looks compared to every Yu-Gi-Oh game that they put out, where every other one just feels like you're getting completely played by every other card game around.
This does look like a real video game released in this year.
I know this is what I wanted as soon as Hearthstone came out. I'm like, just give me that, but for the card game I like.
Yeah, they really, like, they cared a lot about the presentation angle, and then, sadly, not so much about a lot of other angles they should have considered. Hey, if you just want to play three decks with your friends, or a lunatic who's like, I want to play this one specific tournament deck, nothing else matters, I want to make children cry, this is also very good for you.
I'm just going to slide in a comment here of, as someone who played Magic the Gathering, I sure wish I had something even vaguely positive to point at right now instead of Magic.
What about Magic Legends?
I think they have something like this, Dan. You have to pay a sub to get all the cards.
Yeah, but is it on console?
No, I don't think it's on console. Yeah, they do need to put it on console.
I thought they did do a console version of that eventually, but maybe I'm wrong.
I'm gonna see. Let me Google PlayStation console.
You see, this is what's fucked up. Is I would have stuck with Hearthstone if they put it on a console.
Yeah, no,
I'm surprised they didn't. Yeah,
it's fucking insane. That's maybe one of their biggest fumbles. Yeah, is that they did not bring that to everything.
They put it on tablets, right? So it's not an issue. Like and that game's very conducive to a controller. Like, it's even structured that it wouldn't be that big a deal with the controller.
And it can't even be a monetary thing, because since they brought it to mobile, they already have to pay a cut.
Right.
Yeah. So
It just seemed really, really weird to me, because I got in pretty hard when it launched and that beta before, but then just kind of fell off.
I wonder if there could be any weird Activision publishing problems. No way.
I would like to know, and this doesn't actually come up in the news later. Let me make sure. I'm making sure. Still making sure. Yeah, it does not. The producer on Overwatch put Bobby Kotick on blast. As he was like, you know, one of the reasons our move made sense is because Overwatch 2 got delayed. And the producer from Overwatch is like, you're the dumb shit who put us on a bunch of tasks that you kept canceling instead of letting us make the fucking game. I'm like, I
saw that and I went, well, is this like a low level employee? Oh, fuck!
This is getting into it a little bit, and I will say this again later when we get to this, but it's going to be real fucked up if it turns out that, like, no, he was just ruining that company.
I mean, you look at what happened there in the trajectory.
Yeah, but being a sexual predator doesn't imply that you're micromanaging while being stupid and ruining everything.
No, but they burned through their studios like it was the fucking rainforest. But we'll cover that later. We'll get into it. Changing topics, Magic the Gathering Arena, better than ever, now on mobile, is available on PC, Mac, Android, and iOS.
Of course.
Oh, come on.
I don't understand. Like, nobody wants to make a UI using a controller, I guess. That's all I'm getting out of this.
The only thing you're losing, like, even in this Master Duel game by not playing on PC is you can't click and drag cards onto the field. I feel like that's, like, the only thing you're losing out on there. They just need to do it. But I'm really happy all my favorite decks I have, I just have them. And I did not have to foreclose. That was a pretty cool achievement. I'm gonna get with friend groups and do some funny matches.
Cool.
So I'm excited to dig more into that. I hope they add more of the archetype, like story mode stuff. That stuff's really good. Feels cool that they're not just retelling the anime again.
Hey Konami, you want to make a bunch of money? You want to make a bunch of money from people like me and KZ and maybe even Bob and Dan? Mm. Let me pay $60 and I get every card, but I can only use them in casual mode, like the lobbies, because I do that.
Yeah, I would.
I don't give a shit about ranked mode.
Yeah, I would like something like that, because people are like, you can just play the PC thing, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I want it to look cool.
Yeah, you want it to look cool. That PC thing isn't even public anymore, I don't think.
I'm like,
you have to like go into a Discord and find a download link.
I want presentation.
It's also just easier. It's like the easier thing. It will always be easier to get someone to play something they can just download and do, and maybe spend X amount of money if they're invested in playing with their friends. Then
go to this Discord server, get the download,
and this game
will install it.
And idiots made this game and gave me like 9,000 currency for shitting. They're very nice about that. But that's all I played this week. So Phil had something else.
Hey Phil, do you have something else?
Do I have something else? I am now forcibly thinking. Do I have anything else?
Clawing through your mind.
Yeah, clawing through my mind. Listen, like, I woke up yesterday thinking it was Friday.
Yeah.
We can't be recording on Tuesdays. It's so dangerous.
See, this is a good thing for me and Bob. We know it's not Friday because we're not screaming and sprinting towards streaming. That's the one anchor in our week.
I was talking to you about how I was going to edit Big Think, and I think it was Mondo Cool.
Yeah.
And I spent 3 straight minutes going, how long was that? How long was that Big Think?
This conversation.
The one we're recording now.
Yeah. This conversation happened yesterday.
No, I didn't play anything else.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Well, maybe Rockman X Dive, Mega Man X Dive, Cross Dive will have some sort of a sane way for me to select a server for a region I actually live in, so that way I can try it for next week. Because apparently,
oh, I do have one more. I do have one more Yu-Gi-Oh thing. I don't know how they fucked up the netcode for a card game.
Yeah, that shit's weird. That's as weird as the fucking Clubhouse games from Nintendo.
Yeah, I don't know how that's possible.
Where it's like sometimes I get a person, and I'm like, did they do that fucked up thing where it's like anybody in the world can play? The servers are in this one place. because it's like it's literally stopping every second, be like loading, loading, loading. As in the box pops up to tell you you can't do anything yet.
Yeah,
I had multiple matches where that happened, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, guys, come on. Like, you're up against, like, Hearthstone is Blizzard's biggest thing. They dump so much money into that. They make fucking CG trailers for the expansions. Like, come on, man. But that's all. That's all. I'm out.
Oh, okay. Then I summon forth the unholy fury of the Podlords.
Oh, no.
Oh fuck.
Podlords.
Ah. I'm like, can it get dumber from here? And I'm like, yeah, we haven't edited an echoey fart sound yet, so it can get dumber.
Yep.
That's right, the Podlords. Podlords such as E. Lee Broyles, Corey Brown, Warmer Pepsi. He's getting radioactive.
No.
The most disgusting substance on earth.
Yeah.
Red Blaze 27. Forklift certified Juicef Ross.
Is Juicef Ross 15?
Suzu Shiro. Emperor Zero. Shibuya Gato.
G. Phil Spencer. Why did you buy two studios full of misogynists who can't write?
And I was pausing like, wait, which two?
The game industry, everybody. Good hustle. Danny Richardson. Captain Falcon's full name is Douglas J. Falcon. 101 Shades of Wonderful Remastered.
Huh?
He's incognito.
Mm.
You couldn't tell who it really was.
God damn it.
Oh, no. Come on.
101 Shades of Wonderful Remastered.
God damn it. Come on.
Yeah, that was pretty good. WTF Spider-Man. The biggest monkey's paw ever created. Microsoft acquiring Activision Blizzard has some real "I can fix him," says woman who is worse energy to it.
You know what? We're mean to Microsoft, but no.
No. I'm sorry. I'm taking a hard line stance against that one.
DFW 3K. The real reason for the Activision buyout.
No.
No. Under no circumstance.
It's okay. Ninja Theory will make the new Leisure Suit Larry.
I gotta go.
That checks out.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Unleash him.
Activated.
Let loose the dogs of hell.
Just to me, he's always on a collar. And now he's right. Now he's free.
Meme's just like fucking Zoolander 2 ripped his shit. He's like, prison changed me.
God, is that movie good, Dan? Tell me right now.
I am under the firm belief that that movie was very funny. I watched it. My brother watched it. He hates it. Bob likes it. It's up in the air.
Hey, that outnumbered.
I guess I need to give it a try.
Local Podlord and Forbidden One Shiny Mew very excited to now be giving Dan video games $100 a month, apparently?
Hmm.
Wonder what that's about.
Thanks.
Kristen. Oh my God. It's not always about the doink, Spider-Man.
You're so large.
God.
No.
Love the Mets. Love the Mets, baby. Let's go, Mets. Love the Mets.
Love the Mets. God Hand Steam Deck Edition. Panicked Screeching. Also, did you know working out is hard?
Hell yeah, I do.
Kyle Bjork. Zilter. There is no bit. I'm sleepy. Iron Aggro. Blig de Blue. Well, he's Blig de Blue. The reason behind the Activision Blizzard purchase.
No.
Thank you earlier, Podlord, for using the same name. That made this one hit way harder. Monster Hunter Rising and Raiden. Good thing I have friends to help Z-Target feel. Thanks, Pogheles, for Girl Who Stinks Good.jpg. There is so much going on here. Well, I guess it landed.
Okay.
Jordan. Yet again, I sound like I'm scolding him. Jordan, get back in the podcast chamber. The combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell of... women harassers, swear to God, I swear to God, he better be gone. God damn.
Well, he seemingly is, so you win.
Wow. Can't believe that this is worth $68.7 billion these days.
We have a winner.
Xbox Twitter announcing a brand new item to be added to their very funny Series X employee fridges. I wonder what it'll be.
Oh. Stop.
BN12. God. Terrible. AG's Bird Facts. This sapphire blue starbird is often confused for aqua blue larbird. What is... One moment.
Okay.
One moment.
What?
One moment. I'm zooming in. I'm doing some analysis. We're enhancing. I swear to God, at a broad view, you know, it was small enough. I thought it was an Articuno.
Yeah.
It was so small. Like, Podlord loves Articuno. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Got good like tail feather.
I am the storm that is approaching.
Yeah.
Drive type cam. Fluffy around and find out. Indigo Sykes. It has been 0 weeks since the FTC failed to prevent something it should have.
Yeah.
Evil Lucario. A raccoon that can make better art than any NFT.
Yeah.
Man, that's a great raccoon. My grandmother once said, fancy food does not taste good. No matter what truth you try to hide, you cannot hide it. Aspiring Bimani ambassador Shinji16 wants to remind you that you matter, you are valid, and you deserve to be happy.
Aw.
Mondo. I was really terrified the next Podlord was just cool. Frylock, I need your credit card. I need to become this pod lord I've been hearing about.
And then I have to go work at Fox News.
And Virvarm, thank you very much.
To our pod lords.
Thank you, pod lords.
Thank you, pod lords.
Thank you, pod lords.
Oh, pod lords.
And if you'd like to...
Thank you.
And if you'd like to become a pod lord, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/gbpodcast. For as little as $5 a month, you get access to many benefits such as early access to Chugging Bleach and Mondo Cool, our two anime review podcasts, extended armchair dev pitches and gamer premonitions when the format of those shows force us to leave ideas behind on the floor, and you can eat those ideas that we left behind on the floor, and a Patreon exclusive show, one per month, where you could vote on what good or bad thing we have to watch and talk about. That's patreon.com/gbpodcasts. And if you don't have any money, spreading the word helps us a lot. And if you don't have anybody to spread the word to, you can get captured by a giant corporation and then put into a machine that forces you to live the lives of your ancestors because memories are genetic. And then discover that you're actually Jesus Christ, and like a ghost appears on like the alien machine and tells you that you're going to go under the earth and the whole world's going to get destroyed by a sunspot, and you have to come out and become Jesus Christ, and it tells you that people will use your gospel to start horrible, horrible wars, and then you're like, this is a really stupid plot point, so I'm going to put up the shield that protects the earth from the sunspot, and then you can go make friends and tell them about us. That's patreon.com/gbpodcast.
Hell yeah, it is. And we know what we're going to talk about first. Feel. Go.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay. Let's rip the bandage off. Microsoft is going to acquire Activision Blizzard.
Okay.
Let's just run down some of the bullet points. The cost was $68 billion.
Okay, so 10 times their last big purchase.
That is almost as much as when Disney acquired 20th Century Fox for $71 billion, or when AT&T acquired Time Warner for $72 billion. Here's some relevant numbers. Activision's operating cost in 2020 was $5.5 billion, and their profits were $2.7 billion. This means that if Microsoft changes nothing, it will, they accept that amount of money and don't fuck up at all.
Yeah.
It will take them 30 years to recoup.
Yeah, this is not about making money, it's about denial.
If Microsoft had 50 million Game Pass Ultimate subs, which is the absolute maximum feasible amount of Game Pass Ultimate subs, if anybody telling you that it's like, that they can get like 100 million or 200 million is a psychopath. That isn't happening.
Yeah, that's literally no way.
I'm going to be real. I made up the number 50 million based on how many PS Plus subscribers there are, which is more than there are PS Plus subscribers. Mm. I'm like, you're not locked to this hardware. You're not getting 50. You're not getting more than 50 million. You're never going to get to 50 million. But you won't get past it if you somehow do.
Mm. No, they're going to unlock it for TVs, and then it's just going to explode into 100 million.
Yeah, Stadia is going to become the biggest thing. Fucking Amazon Luna will be everywhere. Sure thing, Phil Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is, making games, they're basically never going to make this money back. Unless they spin off into media.
Are you saying Microsoft's division might have to tackle making a Call of Duty movie?
I will not be surprised if in the next year they're like, we have our new media division, people from 343 are in charge of it, they're making an Overwatch Netflix show, they're making a Call of Duty movie, they're making a fucking Diablo show, all this shit.
If they hadn't broken their own leg three times making a Halo, just a Halo show.
Right.
I would feel like that's a reasonable path to take, but who knows? Maybe
they are
right.
The least trustworthy. 343 Industries is the least trustworthy people when it comes to this sort of thing. But yeah, an animated Overwatch show is absolutely something that should be done.
Yeah.
I don't know Microsoft to expand things that the people they acquire are already doing. You know, they... Like with Bethesda, they literally said, we're just going to let them keep doing what they're doing. Here,
they can't do that with Activision.
Yeah, here it's on fire. So yeah. I don't even know.
Yeah, this is such a weird purchase.
It's like, with all these others, there's been this like undercurrent of like Microsoft admitting that they can't get anything started. So they have to buy people who have things already started or can start them. And with Activision, it's like, it's on fire, bro.
Yeah. Here it's like they literally burned up all of their resources to make one game, the Uber game. And it's like, because of that, and here's the thing, you know, I'm just going to get my one poignant statement out about this. Activision has been planning for this moment for years because there's no other way it makes sense to keep burning every studio you have to make one game, come back to do revivals for a few IPs, and then just shut them down again. That's you're just making a market case study, basically, of, see, our IPs have value. There was nothing sustainable about any of what Activision has been doing for the last 9 years. So, I don't know. This seems like a brilliantly played endgame. Fuck you, Bobby Kotick. This seems like the absolute goal. For people who don't know, Bobby Kotick bought Activision when they were in sort of rough sorts. I think it was in the 90s, the early 90s. And that's when he took over Activision and started transitioning it more into the company that we know nowadays. So, yeah, this seems like the end game that was there for a while, because they didn't treat themselves like, I can't look at most publishers and try to see the same pattern in them. Like, EA is still trying to make Battlefield and just fucking it up. EA made a Mirror's Edge and then it didn't sell a pretend amount of money.
they made a Mirror's Edge and was like, we want Mirror's Edge 2. And they're like, do you mean a weird reboot that's an open world game for some reason? And everybody went, no.
Yeah, it's really weird.
We didn't mean that at all.
It's really weird when people ask for a second sandwich and they're like, here's a gigantic pizza. It's the biggest pizza ever. Please help me pay for this pizza.
It's also in a bowl?
Yeah, it just makes no sense.
It's one of those keto pizzas that's just cheese and meat inside. Yeah,
the fucking plate. Crust is chicken powder.
take control again.
But yeah, okay, that's the salient thing I just wanted to point out. This seems like where he's been driving the car for a while.
Yeah.
Sony made a statement hoping Microsoft will respect active contracts Sony has with Activision. Phil Spencer said they will. I wonder how many like weird content exclusivity for Call of Duty things they bought in advance that now locks those into having to come out on PlayStation.
He also said in that same interview about how he intends to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation.
Yeah, there's I was going to get into that where he made that statement.
That does make sense.
He made that statement and then all the Xbox, like, the usual suspects came in. Here are three ways you can interpret this tweet. And I'm like, I can't do this again.
I mean, here's the thing. Who gives a fuck what they say in advance of the merger?
Yeah.
They lied last time. Fuck them.
Right.
Their word is literally meaningless. In a sane world, their word right now is literally meaningless. Because last time, before the fucking merger, they said, yeah, we would, of course, never. We're not going to take our games off of PlayStation. You know, we're just no matter where you game, the more gamers, the better. And then the moment the merger went through, they're like, yeah, so this is super exclusive to us.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is one of those things where like the world has changed, where it's like, will the Silicon Crunch change their mind? Because it's like, we can't actually use this to sell more Xboxes. We can't make that many.
I mean, that is true. That is definitely putting a cap on both next-gen consoles. And I'm like, yeah, this is the generation of hardware I've been waiting forever for, virtually since 7th Gen, where these terrible
4-year-long cross-gen period.
Yeah, and that's what's going to end up happening. And that's so bizarre. It's like my own version of a friend of the podcast was like, yeah, my entire adulthood's been in COVID. And I'm like, man, that's going to fuck you up in ways you can't even imagine. Like, later you'll figure out the damage that was done, but for now. But, like, this... So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's what they're thinking. I saw so many people, when this was first announced, talk about, yeah, Activision games sell 3-1 on PlayStation. Like, they sell three times as many copies on PlayStation. I'm like, you've described most games. Like,
you've described probably what the console split was last gen.
I mean, for a while there, yeah.
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 That's why I'm like, yeah that's how that works.
Yeah.
Fun additional tidbit. The total sales of every single Call of Duty combined, $18 billion. So, four of those.
Yeah, which is why this number doesn't make any sense, which, of course, as you said on Last Big Think, money isn't real, which is something that if you could grab control of the education system and make it actually teach children one thing before they graduate, that would be the single most important thing they need to understand. to giant corporations, money isn't real. Money exists so that way you have to hold a job. Outside of that, it doesn't fucking exist. Like, you need to understand that. So in no world does the number 68.7, was it?
Yeah, something like that.
Make any fucking sense.
Doesn't have to.
I mean, what was it? Somebody came out and said, you know, they basically spent $70 billion acquiring Activision Blizzard, or their intent to, and the FTC's a sham. Which is funny, because for people who don't know, when this shit is involved in, like, the European Union or the UK or other countries, sometimes they get stopped. Like, NVIDIA's getting banged up trying to buy ARM. It still hasn't gone through. And they announced that, I think, before Microsoft announced the Bethesda thing. But when it's two American companies, fucking...
sure like, thing, bro.
It's the hyperloop of litigation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when the Bethesda deal was announced, and we were like, this is insane. They just let them spend way too much money just now. And now they come back here with 10 times that amount.
Yeah. It just doesn't make ludicrous. Any sense. No matter what way you look at it, it makes zero sense. Like, I understand they're going to have access to a treasure trove of IPs. Microsoft has shown no ability whatsoever to facilitate IPs into growth.
Yeah, they haven't worked with any of the IPs they own already.
Yeah.
Like, before the Bethesda purchase, even, they've had this giant treasure trove of IPs that just sits there doing nothing because they can't ship a game.
Hey, Casey, how long has it been since they made a Banjo game? Right.
21 years.
Wait, I'm doing this, Matt.
Yeah.
That's technically correct, which is the best kind of correct. Phil Spencer did an interview where he's like, I'm really excited about getting access to IPs like King's Quest. It's like the standard, we bought an enormous thing shit, where it's like, well, yeah, we're really excited about using all these IPs. He's like, oh, it's bad when other tech giants barge into the space and don't know what they're doing, like Google or Facebook or Amazon.
I saw that and was like, that sure is the pot calling the call of black. Yeah, Jesus. It was so bad.
He says that gaming is the thing for Microsoft to reach the most consumers. Bro, you make Windows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're forced to live with, like, you at all times.
Like, dude, you have an actual monopoly, and what you're doing right now, buying them, is clearly trying to facilitate another. Like,
yeah,
this is clearly 1990s Microsoft Windows moves here. This is insane.
Yeah, he was trying to describe, like, what each tech giant has of, like, is their thing, and they're like, gaming can become Microsoft's thing, which seemed weird given that you're Microsoft.
How about making the definitive operating system on the market? I mean for, like, on the user level, not the we force you to use it level.
Yeah, like, they have a sense of the pulse of gaming. You know, they do moves on PC that show that they still care. They're not Apple. But to pretend their entire company is that is completely facetiously insane. Like, that's not reality. What are you talking about? You're the company that failed to launch a phone 3 times. Do you remember the Zune, right? You're Microsoft.
Yeah, I remember the fucking Zune. I remember the fucking weirdos. And I feel like everybody knew one where it's like, no, the Zune's actually super great. It's way better than any Apple product. I'm going to go live under this rock now. and then they flatten their body and slide under.
Oh shit, that's awesome. I wish I could do that.
Like, obviously nothing Phil Spencer said actually meant anything, because it's like a puff piece interview.
Right.
Yeah.
I hope that there's some, because it is entirely possible that Bobby Kotick was just ruining that company. He, like, being a weird boomer, micromanaging everything because his dick is tiny and he has to feel like he's in charge.
Yeah.
So I certainly hope that is the case. And having it, because again, Phil Spencer, at least unlike most executives, can appear as a human being.
Right. Bobby Kotick never figured that trick out. Ugh, he even showed up in a movie and he couldn't figure that trick out.
So hopefully, like, they'll, like, work out Call of Duty's production schedule. They might even go down to every other year, because if they have Warzone that is like the constant background radiation that is constantly feeding the money, they don't need a Call of Duty every year.
And if we're in a phase
might be the decision they make.
And if they're going to decide to not put new Call of Duties that aren't Warzone out on PlayStation, there's no need for them to do it yearly, because then the other one's going on Game Pass. People are predominantly playing it through that and not buying a $70 boxed game.
I wish we lived in a world where Microsoft actually did have a good track record on studio support and bringing back old IPs. Because then I could live in the same world that these Twitter replies live in, where I can entertain that and feel positive.
I wish that anything had happened before they bought out half the industry.
Yeah, no, we hardly even closed on the Bethesda deal.
Yeah, I actually,
here we are with this.
I actually didn't get to the number earlier. The $70 billion acquisition, I believe somebody evaluated the fucking gaming industry at $170 billion annually. And it's like,
yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I'm gonna beat on him a little bit.
Sure.
Jeff Keighley, what are you doing? Okay. Being like, here's other things they could buy based on this. Be excited, lunatics! I'm like, Jeff, come on.
He was like, here's the value of all man. Of these. I'm like, you don't need to do this. All right.
Did Microsoft hit like the? Did Microsoft like? Did Phil? Did you pick up the phone and Phil Spencer was like, the eagle hunts at midnight, and like the Dorito Pope outfit like spawned on you again.
It dropped in a fucking Destiny style engram.
As you did.
The Destiny style engram drops and he gets his legendary Dorito Pope outfit.
I took it kind of as a post-it warning. Like, there didn't seem to be anything positive in his post.
He made a positive post about it earlier, though, that same day.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah,
where it was like, this is incredible. Microsoft has invested, no, they didn't, $70 billion back into the gaming industry by
changing,
moving numbers around.
Yeah.
So it was those two tweets combined that was like, come on, Jeff.
The way I rationalize it, because yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people saw that second tweet without the context of the first one to know that he was being positive. Because viewed in a vacuum, that second tweet just seems like, look at these numbers.
Yeah, this is scary. Like
theorycraft.
For that $70 billion, they could have bought half the industry, literally.
Yeah. But... Jeff really deep down loves video games and still views them the way that they were when he was growing up. You know, he's seen the transition of the industry from a child can come in and do an interview at Valve about their upcoming game, Half-Life, and what it is now, and the growth and maturation into an industry that rivals film makes him happy. Big moves in this space, blanket response, make him happy. Like, and this is me explaining it. This isn't me saying it makes sense. I'm just saying that's how he views it. So to him, this is exciting news. It's positive news. But yeah, any time a mega corporation conglomerates with another, merges with another, it's not good for normal people.
No.
Yeah. It's not good news. If I'm going to take this the same way he talked about the emulator stuff last year, where if they go back and start using some of this older IP, like he said they want to do, and talk to these teams to see if they can get other projects spun up, that's great. I'm going to be like, all right, you mentioned it, so I'd like to see it. I'm not going to immediately just go out and say it's a lie yet. Granted, there's plenty of evidence to prove that, you know, that may not happen, but I feel like there's just...
Based very directly on what happened.
I have to give him a chance.
I mean, yeah, based very directly on what happened 1 year ago, it's fair to be critical and cynical of this statement.
I think it is absolutely fair to be like that, but I'm going to choose to hope that he sees, hey, there's that part where everyone was like, people were excited about Activision things, where they brought back some old games, and they looked cool, and they had a more varied portfolio, and then everything caught on fire and they just made one game
forever. I think if anything changes, that will be the thing that changes, because for the reasons I just said, like, there doesn't necessarily have to be a Call of Duty anymore every year now that Microsoft owns them and that they have Warzone, so maybe some people can be free to make other things. Honestly, like, I like, first of all Phil,
yes, Xbox,
you own Project 8 now. Please.
It'd be really great. They do one of those shows and they're like, here's all the stuff and it's in there with FPS boost.
It's like, they were like, well, it's hard to do this because we have to get permission. Like, now you have a lot of things you don't have to get permission for anymore.
You know what would have helped covering the cost of licensing that music? $68 billion.
This gets a bigger headline than we got the licensing for this rock track.
But yeah, like, we're still for the next 2 years, we're in this bizarre place where we just have to wait for like the Xbox era to actually begin at these things they're buying.
Yeah, it's still
shit that they had in development.
Yeah, me and Dan were talking the other day about how it just felt like, man, they've bought most of the industry and they still don't have any games coming out this year.
Shut up!
Yeah, that was really bizarre. Yeah. But, you know, if they ship the annual Call of Duty...
That's a big win for Microsoft.
Microsoft Studios presents. That thing's still totally coming out on PlayStation 2.
Yeah, I assume the next three will probably still come out on PlayStation because... I'm sure that they like new gen 5 years. Here's the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure that the first, this year, Call of Duty is fine. It's really just after that of like, who knows.
Which, based on like things I was looking at, other insider sounds like it's just going to be Modern Warfare 2.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's better than Vanguard.
Yeah. That's what we're up for.
I honestly wonder if it'll, like, if anything's going to make a Call of Duty slip.
Yeah. They might be willing to do that
it's
now.
It's this. Because like the merger is going to throw everything into disarray, and considering how much this shit's already on fire.
Yeah, I was like, into disarray? What are you talking about? The whole year has been disarray.
Yeah, but now they're going like to the buildings on.
This
more.
Is like this is like the buildings on fire, and then they look out the window and see the tornado coming.
Yeah, it's going to put out the fire.
Phil Spencer's just in there and he's like trying to talk to people to get them to put out the real life fires in the building. And some guy walks past drinking milk and he's like, give me that. What the hell's wrong with you?
You know, if I was working at Blizzard right now, because I am not a woman, I am a white male and therefore immune to the horrible things that were happening at Activision Blizzard. I'd be like sick. Nobody wants anything out of me for like 8 months.
Jesus.
It's like, wow, there's no such thing as, this is cool. This is a job where there's no deliverables.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. It's similar to that small period of GameStop was like, yeah, we don't have a CEO. We might just be shutting down everything. I was like, oh man, great.
Cool. except there's no element of serving customers. So there's not even that. It's just like, I'm going to put on my cubicle wall camouflage and just do nothing.
Yes. Yeah. It's even greater because it's like literally do nothing. It's just don't worry about numbers.
It's like, wait, they can't see me because I'm a white man, but they can sort of see my cubicle. What do? Puts up Ted Lasso posters. But yeah, I hope what we see over the next 4 years out of Microsoft Game Studios in general is like all of these studios they acquired and all of the studios they already had that are having trouble shipping games like Rare and etc. do get more games out, and we do see a lot more to offer from Microsoft Game Studios, because then that means this would have been for something.
Yeah.
Because fixing Activision isn't the most galactic move in the world, as it turns out.
Yeah, it seems like you just have to mostly not be a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, as it turns out, having a functioning HR department should probably cover your ass legally enough to not be as horrible as Activision.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, because we know that Microsoft has no history in actually fixing studios. Like getting things working, getting things smoothly running, and things releasing.
Yeah.
So the thought of them taking in another 10 to fix is insane.
Because when you look at the first 15 years of Xbox, right?
Uh-huh.
Long term, over those 15 years, it is the story of entropy.
Yes.
Every single studio just slowly breaks down or disappears entirely or whatever. And then in the six most recent years, the long term studios... Well, except for, God, what's the name? Bullfrog. Is it Bullfrog, the people who made Fable?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty sure it was Bullfrog.
Yeah.
Oh, new Fable. I was like, Lionhead?
Lionhead.
Yeah. It was Bullfrog that became Lionhead.
Oh, yeah, them.
They disappeared, but no one else did. literally just completely disappear in the last 6 years. We've been in a state of mostly maintaining, but not really improving, by and large, with their studios. Like, some of their studios are doing well. Like, the Coalition, I feel,
yeah,
has been doing all right.
Playground's, like, still delivered games.
Yeah, Playground's doing fine. And Turn now, 10,
yeah,
maybe not.
Yeah, Playground's at the point where they're making two games now instead of just one.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the studio that's doing well at Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
Rare isn't doing well. Coalition, they started doing well by the end. I'm not sure about public reception on their games, but when it comes to making the game they seem to want to make and shipping it, like, they seem to be doing fine. Now they're doing their early stuff for the next project from them, which is going to use UE5. So it's early days for that. But yeah, we haven't really, out of Microsoft at large, at any point in time been like, this is massively improved now. Like, yeah, none of these studios have really, like, Bleeding Edge got greenlit is the major positive story out of Microsoft acquisitions, because that was a game they were having trouble getting greenlit at any of the normal publishers, and that survived 11 months, I think.
Oh, okay, cool.
But yeah, so what I would like to see is some actual improvement and more stuff like that, but at the end of the day, like, the industry merging is just always a bad thing.
Is bad, and, yeah, and like, yeah, I hope it goes well and not like Disney buying Fox, where most of their shit just got buried. Here's Phil Spencer visiting me at my desk at Blizzard.
Oh, no.
What are you doing?
I like the cut of his jib.
God damn it.
There sure is a Simpsons screen grab for everything.
Yeah. Yes, there is. But seemingly nothing will stop this, so I hope I get things I want to play, and if it is, that's big W.
Yeah, that's ultimately has to be my take, is like, this is bad. Yeah. I hope the bad thing comes with benefits for me.
Yeah.
Because I have no, it's like, we live in a weird world where I have no actual impact on anything related to this, so I guess I just have to hope it works out.
It's like, nothing can stop this, so if I get a game I like, I
hope Phil Spencer is benevolent. Should I just go run through the rest of my list?
Phil Spencer says he could hit you again. That was like, what, a month ago?
It was like 6 months ago.
That was a while ago, Bob. I'm sorry.
Like,
that
I
was...
could hit you again, and then he did.
But I'm like, oh, thank God. Thank you, Phil Spencer. You probably hit me as softly as you possibly could.
Yeah, every time they do this, it's scary. It's like, they could do this for the whole industry. Money means nothing to them.
I mean, clearly, they just spent $70 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you say softer hit, did you say that because it was Activision in particular? Because I feel like the softest hit is Ubisoft.
But this is...
That and this is so massive that I have to assume that it's going to slow down at this point, because they've spent $80 billion. Even if money is fake, if they do it too much, the pearls start to figure out that money is fake.
Yeah. they try and go for another
also,
one.
Like also at some point, organization becomes an actual problem.
That seems to never slow them down. We'll see.
Yeah, but it goes from like a small fire to the building being on fire, and I feel like they're at least aware enough to be like, we need to avoid the point where everything is so intermingled and we have so much that nothing is getting made anywhere.
Yeah,
which I really hope we don't wake up and hit that situation with them in like. Also, this was a light hit because it's like, oh, they're just gonna buy they're gonna buy like EA and Ubisoft if they buy more shit. They're not gonna buy like Sega or Square Enix or even try. It's just gonna be Ubisoft and EA.
They'll just like, own that, every single like, American company.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because that seems to be where it's going for. Because I am in my head, I imagine Phil Spencer being like, well, the CEO doesn't know what Sega is, so they'll say no.
That is exactly the headspace I was in.
But if I say this thing that they know because it's so huge, they might say yes.
And he's like, I'll do it as a joke. Have you heard of Call of Duty? What do you mean, yes?
I'm going to run through the rest of these news because there isn't a whole lot.
Okay.
Dean Takahashi, the Cuphead guy, He put out a real fucking like
by
he,
the he, like, Cuphead posted, guy.
Okay,
you mean
the okay? Okay, I'm sorry. The Cuphead review guy who was unable to hit two buttons in sequence.
There we
okay.
go.
Okay, I was like, I'm sorry. That one's too online by this point. So you got.
Yeah,
you
I'm
gotta,
sorry.
You
I'm sorry. I got scrambled a little bit. But he like he reported on this interview on this fucking data study uncritically and like a moron, where he's like. 56% of gamers say that they're really interested in earning NFTs. And then you look at the study, and then you look at the study, and it turns out the sample size was 20,000 people.
1,500.
No, Dan. Let me
okay. go through.
They said it was 20,000 people. They threw 80% of them didn't know what NFTs were. Then of the remaining 2,000. The intelligence group somehow selected 1,500 of them to get these numbers that 56% of people are actually interested in doing this. Meaning, basically, that they threw out 500 people who said no.
Yeah.
So with the most egregious, like, this sample size is too small, we're doing everything in our power to make this look good, to try. There's this thing called manufacturing consent.
Yes. That's absolutely
when discussing with the media, which is basically when something sucks shit and nobody actually wants it, the news starts running stories about how actually the majority of people want it in the hope that everybody just gives up.
Yes.
Yeah.
So their best attempt at this was 56% of 1,500 people say, okay, I guess. GameIndustry.biz also uncritically ran this and then had to like issue a bunch of apologies in the replies to the post without changing the headline.
Oh, come on. Yep.
So I just wanted to bring that up. It's like, nobody wants this shit. Nobody. It's like that Shonen Jump thing where it's like, there's a big thing coming tomorrow, guys. Oh God, it's not NFTs. It's not NFTs. Please, guys, relax. It's not NFTs.
That was
that was good because it was like, there. It is an NFTs with a smile emoji and I just started dying.
It's like, you can put down the rock.
Yeah, it was like, that was a good happy story on that day that we got the BlizzCon story. Not BlizzCon, sorry. Blizzard Activision.
I actually don't feel like hitting Joss Whedon. Go look up his interview from this week if you haven't read it, where he says that he sexually assaulted all those women because he thought he would regret it if he didn't. And then says that taking feminism courses really helped him assault women because he had no he said he was really good at women's study courses because he understood the enemy, it was him.
Yeah, he literally said that. Yeah, this interview is insane and repugnant, and reading it I basically did the Joker dance because it's validated me hating his writing from day one, because it's
unbelievable. And this was a puff piece.
Yeah,
like the magazine had him on the cover.
It was supposed to be, okay, come in, we're gonna do a really easy interview, and this dude fucking Bojack Horseman the fucking interview to be like, yeah, I'm just gonna pour out all my skeletons and then say I don't apologize.
Like the cover like has his face on big, it has the absolutely hilarious caption, interview with a vampire ?
Yeah, because he described himself as a vampire because vampires have control, but they're less than human and they're outsiders.
Oh, I just thought it was because he did Buffy.
And they need to have a wooden stake shoved through their heart. You know, a vampire.
Yeah. In Minecraft.
But that was so insane that I had to bring it up. Also, the part where he's like, a child died next to me when I was 5, and just like tells people this. And I'm like, I'd have kept that one close to the chest, bro. PlayStation Store lists Ghostwire Tokyo for March 22nd. Please. There's so much already.
No.
That means there'll be a state of play soon, though, so that's cool.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, it's about time.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, throw me some bones.
I need more Star Ocean gameplay.
Yeah, please.
I'm sorry, Bob. I can't believe that game wasn't in Most Likely to be Delayed. What's wrong with us?
I completely forgot about it.
Yeah,
I didn't care about it.
Yeah, so did
I. Because
it's like I said to Dan on Twitter at one point, is like I just already delayed it in my head.
Yeah,
so I didn't put it in that category.
Yeah, I had no thought that it was actually coming out. It was crazy.
Same.
I forgot it was announced and went, oh yeah, yeah.
And finally, Eglia Rebirth, the Mana successor game made by the creator of the franchise.
That's the real name. Oh my enhanced god.
the enhanced birth of the enhanced port of the mobile version launches for Switch February 10th for $19.99.
Egg.
They said that they've rebalanced everything and like ripped shit like mobile shit out and tried to make it into a real video game. So hopefully they did. It looks pretty at least. I wish it wasn't on the Switch.
Yep. Maybe you'll be fine.
Yeah, maybe it'll run better than the Yu-Gi-Oh! Card Simulator.
what a high bar.
And that was my news.
Okay, Bob, go.
Oh, yeah, I got some good news here.
The real pick-me-up we all need.
Microids is working on 3 new Garfield games.
What?
They'll be different genres. They didn't tell us anything more, but this is the people who made such games as Garfield Kart.
Uh-huh.
What a funny game.
The Siberia Adventure Series.
Cool. I didn't know those were the same people. Microids has the weirdest, like, reputation, yeah, apparently.
They published all these Garfield games. They are actually developer for those Siberia games. I have no idea how this is working, if they're just going to farm these out to various different companies, or if it's going to be an in-house made, like, Garfield adventure game.
Dude, Dr. Orochi is going to be so thrilled we're getting 3 new Garfield games.
It's very hype.
I haven't been this excited since we played that, was it an Amiga? Yeah, that Amiga Garfield game where you made Garfield run headlong into a brick wall and he fell on his ass.
The game is so bad.
That's awesome. We now go to KZ for news. KZ!
All right, I'm going to start with the mix of good and bad. Kingdom Hearts 20th anniversary event has been officially set for April 10th. They're doing it some Japanese building. It's going to be an exciting thing. They're going to do some orchestra stuff. They're probably going to reveal their new video game there, mainly because they said they weren't going to live stream it, which knowing this series means I will learn secondhand what the game's going to be about, because that's how those have always gone. But still exciting. See what they've been working on. They said they wanted to wait till this year to announce something cool. The clown versions of the Kingdom Hearts series will be arriving on Switch February 10th. These are the cloud gaming versions. The demos are out. They're real bad.
Yeah.
They are impressively bad. Where the sound,
I didn't
the
test
sound
them, but I know somebody who did.
What's up?
Oh, I didn't test them, but I watched somebody test them. I'm like, wow, these are... Ooh.
Yeah, I've played basically every game streaming service, and this is so far below the worst.
This is seemingly the worst I've ever seen, where it's like, here's the tutorial in Kingdom Hearts 1. You're on a stained glass thing, you're hitting enemies. The sound has desynced.
Yeah, the sound desyncs massively. The game hitches a lot. Like, I saw, what was it, Kingdom Hearts 2, Roxas Skateboarding?
Oh, yeah, and then they put up the box saying, your internet's not good enough. We're about to kick you out right now.
Cloud gaming is the future.
Oh, yeah. And then my favorite, Kingdom Hearts 3's title screen with input lag and stutters.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible. Do not buy it.
Yeah, don't.
There are many other options that exist.
I'm astonished to put a demo out. I really am. I thought they would just put out the game and be like, people are going to buy it.
Yeah, they absolutely should not have put this demo out if they wanted to make money on this endeavor.
Right? Yeah,
Square Enix likes putting out demos they shouldn't. Balan Wonderworld.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Babylon's Fall.
Oh, God. Well, good on them for putting out demos.
Yeah, they're good at warning people ahead of time. The literal only thing added here is they have a Joy-Con-esque Kingdom Hearts Keyblade skin for 3, because they've done that for every platform. It's got like a red and blue mix on it. And I'm like, sure, that's neat. I sure wish you had, you know, not made anything at all, because making native ports of the later games is basically impossible without making them look terrible. And everything about those collections, it seems like they just didn't want to bother. I wish they just didn't make anything at all, just said, we're not going to. And if we make a new game and it's in that area, we'll put it out, like the rhythm game, where it's like, that made it to Switch, because it's something they're pushing. Because
mm-hmm.
I imagine they want to stop porting these collections that they had that entire team spend an entire gen making.
I mean, if they ported these things to the Switch, they would not run well at all.
Yeah, they would not.
Not even close. Yeah. Because saw the PS3 version,
yeah, the PS3 versions were bad, and the PS4 ones were enhanced in many other ways. I imagine they don't want to go back to the older versions of that.
Right.
And also the collections are fucking massive. So I just imagine the nightmare form of this where it's like we're selling them all separately for insane amounts beyond even selling what they are now.
Yeah. Like we only ported 3 games, 1, 2, and 3. They're $60 each. 3 looks unreal compared to what it looks like on every other platform.
Yeah,
because and 1 and 2 are locked at 30.
Because people, when the PC version of 3 came out, said, based on other ports of Unreal Engine games, here's what Kingdom Hearts 3 would look like. I changed all the settings, and it looks so bad.
That's great.
They also did one for the Vita.
Oh, that's...
It just looks like sauce. But yeah, that's that news. I'm looking forward to April. Maybe we'll find out when Dark Road is finishing by then, because that got delayed a little bit. Next piece of news, we got some EA stuff from insider Tom Henderson. He's done some stuff for VGC. He's like freelance, so he does stuff for multiple outlets. First up, both Jedi Fallen Order 2 and Criterion's new Need for Speed game, now that they've been given back the IP, are planned to be revealed and launched this year. Need for Speed's targeting like a September, October type of thing. And the Jedi game's going to be just quarter four.
Cool.
Which,
that's neat.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. I enjoyed Jedi Fallen Order quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I want to see what the next one of those is.
Yeah, this feels great for me, too, because this is like the Dan versus Dark Souls games Requiem, because I get Elden Ring and that in a single year.
Yeah. See, that is exciting.
It actually is. Like, I'm legit super thrilled because maybe this will, like, you know, take advantage of the next gen at launch. You know, it probably will. So
yeah, that would be so great. That would help with a lot of stuff. And there's a lot of quality of life stuff they can add in there, like fast travel points within a planet, or you know, and just ironing out, maybe like fleshing out the combat a bit more.
More
maybe.
Shirtless old men.
Yeah, mainly that. We need more of that.
Yes, and maybe any level of cosmetic options that aren't. I'm a white guy with a poncho. Here's a different poncho.
The ponchos were great. I don't know what the problem is.
I'd also like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff they can do.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm super jazzed about that because I was waiting so long for a good single player Star Wars game.
Yeah. And that game was really cool. There's a lot of cool stuff in that game.
Yeah. And that last finale kicked ass. And I just want to see what they can do with whatever the sequel
is. Yeah, plus they get to start the development on this, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't have to spend a bit of the development trying to convince them to let them make a game with lightsabers, yes, right?
Can you not use Jedi? I think Force users would be a bit...
I thought you were going to say, and they don't have to beg EA to let them use Unreal Engine.
That too. They get to, it's two layers here.
Respawn gets to do whatever the fuck they want because they're the breadwinners at EA right now.
Oh god, yes.
Yeah, good thing they're now 70% of the company or whatever.
Good. Keep on. I support this.
Yeah, they're basically EA's like playground where it's just like, we're the studio that's winning, baby.
Yeah. It's like, how are you doing that? We're using Unreal Engine and we're making video games people want to play.
Well, only one of their games uses Unreal. The other one's Source, weirdly enough. They're custom fork of Source.
Okay, so they're not using Frostbite, and they're making games people want to play.
Yes, that's the winning move, baby!
Yeah, that's where I was basically at.
God, yeah. How bad? How bad is that? Motherfucking using Source and shit.
Tom Henderson goes, my EA source says there is a 0% chance Dragon Age 4 is coming out this year.
I wouldn't expect it.
Yeah, that
it.
Shit's fucked. I don't expect that game to ever come out. Like, not like a chance. I have no reason to ever think that game is going to come out.
Yeah.
Like that we haven't seen it. They've said they've rebooted it like 3 times now. The big creative director just left. They're probably rebooting it again. They're fucked.
I'm in physical pain. We've talked about Dragon Age 4 since the first big thing. I feel like
we still haven't seen it.
Yeah, I know. We still haven't seen it. We talked about it then. And you're like, they're going to put Dark Souls stuff in it. Turns out they're going to put nothing in it.
Look, we our podcast is young. It's only been going for what, a year, right?
3.
Oh, no.
3 years.
January of 2020.
No, Casey, January of 2019.
Oh, fuck. Time's bad. I forgot that we got a good year before.
Yep.
Yeah, but before we got really into that hunk of meat. The other thing they had here is EA is disappointed Battlefield 2042 sucks so bad.
What good insider info this is?
and they are currently scrambling to find a way to do some free-to-play aspects for this game.
That'll fix it.
Yeah.
Thanks. It might get me to try it, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm. I heard that they're putting out updates to improve the game's scoreboard.
You know what's weird?
Huh.
It's weird. If you talk to a person who's like, I love Taco Bell, right? Or I really like Taco Bell. You assume they've eaten Taco Bell in the last 7 years.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I like Battlefield.
Oh, no!
That's it.
Okay. And my last piece of news, we got a gameplay overview trailer today for LEGO Star Wars The Skywalker Saga. It's coming out April 5th. This game looks really, really good and is going to include mumble mode.
What does that mean?
It makes it like the old LEGO games where they don't actually have real voice acting and they're just going,
before they got budget.
Yeah, a lot of people wanted them to do it.
Yeah,
to have an option for that instead of it just being the voice stuff, and they ended this trailer with the I'm your father section in mumble mode, mm-hmm. which I thought that was fun.
Man, it's weird to think how long this game has been delayed. I was taking pre-orders for this thinking it would come out before the pandemic.
Yes.
Oh. I didn't realize it had been that long.
It was supposed to come out like 2019, end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got pushed.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out when the movie came out.
Yeah. This is insane.
Yeah, I'm excited for this. This is such higher rent than any LEGO thing before. The perspective shift and just how nuts it looks. I'm really excited. And they're like, when you start, you just pick which trilogy you like to start with. So that'll be interesting. I feel like I might just get the sequel trilogy out of the way first. I don't know.
I mean, that'll be the new stuff.
I mean, that's going to be the most fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, not hating on The Last Jedi, but I am very curious what all you do other than the casino stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's going to be
You're going to do some actual training on that island with Luke?
I was going to talk about you're going to be doing the bombing run where the sister dies.
Mash the button to properly drop the payload.
Yeah.
Something Ray gets trapped inside a maze of mirrors.
Yeah, I was sitting there. I was like, maybe when she deals with Requiem, maybe you fight evil Ray in there.
Yeah,
in the Last Jedi.
Toothy Ray.
Oh, God, I forgot.
You forgot that exists. It's so funny.
I forgot there's an evil Ray with shark teeth.
The sequel trilogy is so
she
goddamn
pops up
funny.
For what? For 20 seconds, because that movie has to be five movies
it's
in
not
one,
even
so they can immediately
it's
transition
not even
to
20
Kylo
seconds.
Ren.
Yeah, I'm not even sure it's 3 seconds. They just show the mirror and go,
It's really funny, because they use that to, like, end a trailer, so you're like, there must be something going on with this, and it appears for 5 seconds, and then a fight scene happens different people.
I mean, there must be something going on with this is the cornerstone of Abrams' entire career.
Sorry.
But that's it for the news.
All right.
I'm actually interested in that Star Wars game because I need to know.
Right?
Like, yeah. Everyone knows what the first in the sequel trilogy is going to be. It's just the film.
Yeah.
The others...
There's enough cool shit happening in that film to make a game out.
I feel like both the second and the third one offer different challenges for someone trying to make a game out of them, and I'm super thrilled to see it. Anyway, we're still doing Infa Month. There's a chance it's ended by now if we go full cracked out mode and do Infamous Second Son on the second Sunday of streaming for Infa Month. We still don't know on that one. We'll find out when we get there. KZ, what do you got going on?
I'm going to continue working on some streaming stuff. I'm going to see if I can at least knock out the first Dead Space. As I said, I was going to stream through those. Going to see if I can finally get into those. I haven't played the Dead Space series before, so I'm excited to jump in. But aside from that, I don't know. So we can move on.
Okay. Dead Space 1 is really good.
Cool.
Yeah. Feel.
I'm recovering from Game of the Year because my sense of time has broken.
Yeah, Game of the Year knocked the shit out of me.
I appreciate you for still being in Game of the Year.
I was like, who's he talking? Oh, me. I'm the one still trapped.
Yeah, because I can't say it's glad Game of the Year is over, because that's mean. You're still there.
Yeah, it's basically every morning I wake up, I'm back in my house, and I have to figure out the events to end Game of the Year in time. Otherwise, Bite the Dust takes over, and
I wake up
the next day in Game of the Year. Anyway, I'm going to try to solve that mystery.
Oh, and zoinks.
We'll see you guys for more Infamous Talk and everything else next week. Oh, God, please, news. Just sober up.
Yeah, don't, not again, please. We can't handle this.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Big Think Dimension. If you would like to support us, head on over to www.patreon.com/GBpodcast, where you can get extra podcasts and early access to our anime podcast, Chugging Bleach and Mondo Cool. Head on over there and become a $5 backer or podlord today.